Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, as well as listen to podcast of old shows. It's a great resource. Again, that's at wdiy.org. If you have friends outside our listening area, they can also stream online and listen as we go here to the live show or listen to those podcasts as well. Today is April 12th, 2017. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 20,591, the NASDAQ at 5836, and the S&P at 2344. Our topic tonight, taxes and extensions and payments and estimates. What do you have to know? What do you have to think about? We are live tonight, so if you have questions, the lines are open as well. Hopefully they're working tonight, 610-758-8810, because we want you to get those taxes done. So we're going to talk a little bit about if you're tight on time at the end here as we go through the show. But if you have questions, again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We are live. You can call in and talk with me live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live, then you can give your question to Lori C. She's in the studio, answers the calls, and she'll write down the question and bring it into the studio to me, and I'll do my best to answer it. If you do want to talk live with us, just make sure you turn down your radio, because otherwise you're going to hear a delay and it causes some confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can ask questions off topic as well. I'll do my best to answer them. Questions are also available to be submitted through yourfinancialchoices.com. And again, the phone number tonight is 610-758-8810. I can't help but comment on the weather, though. It's absolutely gorgeous out. So I do hope that you continue to listen to the show, but I understand because the weather is so beautiful. It's like barbecue weather. But you may be preoccupied with trying to get your taxes done. So that's what we're still talking about tonight. I also want to mention the next 2 weeks I won't be here. We'll have pre-recorded shows. I will take a break for a couple weeks to recover from the last few months of tax season. And it's quite a crunch when you have, you know, a regular day job and then you cram in a bunch of tax preparation on top of it. So let's talk a little bit about taxes and what's going on. I will now let out the secret. I have kept this secret. I've tried to keep it secret for the last couple of months, at least for my clients. And that is that the due date is actually not April 15th this year. It's April 18th. So I didn't want anybody to know, so that we pressed forward, moved forward, and tried to make that April 15th deadline, which actually falls on a Saturday this year. But then the other thing that we have going on is a holiday in D.C. called Emancipation Day, which the whole country benefits from. So normally, if April 15th is on a Saturday, the due date would be the 17th. It would be the next Monday. But as it happens, Monday is Emancipation Day in D.C., and then that pushes the due date another day. So it's not until Tuesday, April 18th. So no one has an excuse this year. We should all be getting those tax returns filed. Now, there may be reasons why you extend, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so here you go. The real due date is April 18th. I feel like I was just wrapped a beautiful gift in a box with a beautiful bow. I appreciate having the extra few days. Some people don't realize, though, that the IRS actually gives us even another 6 months. So you can file an extension. And, you know, some people are okay with filing extensions. Some people don't want to file an extension. But here's the main point, folks. You want to make sure that you're filing a complete and accurate return. You want to make sure the numbers you're putting on your tax return are correct. So if you don't think you have correct numbers, then it doesn't hurt to do an extension. It's very easy to file an extension. The IRS calls it an automatic extension now. I think when I first started in the tax world back when, we had to give a reason, and the reason we used to put on every extension was additional time is needed to file a complete and accurate return. And that's what we would write over and over again. Additional time is requested to complete to file a complete and accurate return. And that hasn't changed. We really do need to file a complete and accurate return because it ends up kind of being an issue if you just slap some numbers on the return and then they end up being wrong and you have to file an amended return later. The idea with an amended return is you're giving the IRS a second chance to look at your return. You're extending maybe their opportunity to look at a return. So let's try to avoid having to file an amended return. It's not a big deal to file an amended return. Sometimes, you know, numbers change. And there's additional information maybe that you actually did not have at the time you filed your original return. So I don't want people to be afraid of filing an amended return based on what I said either. But you don't need to do it if, you know, I would rather see someone extend their return than slap on, you know, pretend numbers or estimates and then file an amended rate later. I'd rather you just extend. Now, when we talk about filing an extension, remember I said it's automatic. Well, for the most part, the IRS isn't going to question why you're filing an extension. That's the automatic part, but you still have to file for the extension. All right. So that's where I think the IRS confuses people because they say you qualify for an automatic extension. But if we all qualified for an automatic extension, then why do we have to file the form for the extension? Why don't they just make the due date October 15th and give us all from April 15th, October 15th to file without all this panic of trying to get all the returns in on April 15th? But I'm not in charge. So that would be reasonable, I would think. So for an extension, you do have to file a form, and it's called a 4868. And that will let the IRS know that you're putting your return on extension. It's very easy to do. And generally, though, what people don't realize is just because they're giving you an extension of time to file, it does not mean it's an extension of time to pay. So I had someone kind of laugh at me the other day and say, oh my gosh, why would anyone file on time when you can extend? And I'll just pay in October. Well, because that is not how it works. The extension is a time to file, not a time to pay. Now, most of you should know that if you owe the IRS money, they're going to assess penalties and late payment penalties if you don't pay on time. But many people don't realize there's late filing penalties too, and they're separate from the late payment penalties. So there's late filing penalties and late payment penalties. So even if you don't have the money to pay, which you are supposed to, you know, pay what you think you're going to owe with your extension, but if you don't have the money to pay, you at least want to either file your return or file for an extension. And I'm going to talk to you about more details on that and the implications of owing or not owing and filing and that type of thing. If you have questions tonight, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
In 2017, WDIY is celebrating 22 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. If you have questions, we are talking about taxes tonight, in particular, as we're getting closer to the due date, not April 15th, but April 18th. We're going to be talking about extensions and payments and maybe even some estimated payments if I have time at the end here. So if you have questions, maybe you have not quite finished your return. Maybe there's something you're just not sure about. I am here. We are live. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So as I was mentioning before the break, you want to file your return if you can. If you have all the information, to file a complete and accurate return. If you owe money, you might say, well, I owe money and I don't have any money. I don't have the money to pay it. So I'm not going to file my return. And maybe you're in such a depression or you're so stressed out by it, you're in denial. This happens. If it's ever happened to you, you know what I'm talking about. So you have to, as I say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive. It does not help you to put the covers over your head or crawl into a hole. It helps for you to take action. So if you have a return and you think you owe money and you don't have the money, at least file your return. Then you won't have a late filing penalty. So you want to file your return if you have all the information. If you owe and you don't have the money, you can file for an installment plan or ask the IRS to help you. There is a form. I'll go over that in a minute. It's a form 9465. That helps people sign up for an installment plan with the IRS, and I'll go over that in more detail. But you want to do something. So if you have the information, file your return. Pay what you can with the return. So let's pretend you owe $5,000 and you have $1,000 in the bank. Well, pay the $1,000, send the return in. I've even had people file and send in a payment and they don't even request the installment. And then the IRS will send them paperwork back and say, hey, you didn't pay all your money. Do you want to set up an installment? And they might provide some information. And there's different levels of installments that people can do depending on how much they owe. So I'll go over some of that in a bit. Now, back to this extension due date. So as I said, you can file a form 4868 for an extension of time to file. But if you think you owe and you have the money to pay it, but maybe there's just one outstanding item you kind of want to wait for or get clarification on. Maybe you had some missing cost basis information on a position you sold in your brokerage account. Maybe it won't affect your tax return. Maybe you already have tons of capital losses that you're carrying forward, and maybe it won't impact your tax return, but you still know that there is information that you want to use because maybe it will affect your loss carry forward. So it might not impact your tax return today, but it might impact your return in the future. So you want to put it on extension. So you have maybe a payment due, an amount due, and you'd simply make a payment with your extension. All right. So when you send in the extension, form 4868, you will write a check with that and mail it in. What I'd like to also add for people is maybe there is something that's going to impact your tax return, but you're not really sure yet because you haven't finished investigating it or you haven't finished, maybe you're self-employed and you want to put money into a solo 401k, but you're not sure you're going to have enough money, if you file for an extension, you extend the time to file your return. And if you have a solo 401k, that also extends the time you have to fund that 401k. So now you've extended the time to do that till October. Maybe you're going to come up with the money, but you're not sure. One of the things you could do is you make a best guess estimate of what you think your tax is going to be based on some of these assumptions. And with the extension, you pay the amount that you think you're going to owe, and then put some extra money with your extension that would be like maybe a first quarter estimated tax payment, or just pay extra with the extension. Then when you finally prepare your return, if you have a refund, you've overpaid because maybe you estimated such that you made this extra payment, you built it in, we bake in some extra payment. That way, if the estimates you put in are off and maybe we thought you were only going to owe $3,000, you paid in three, and then we said, well, let's kind of put some extra, and we have you bake in some extra payments, and now the estimates come in a little bit less than what we thought, or the deductions weren't what we thought, and now you owe more, you will at least have it covered. If you end up estimating properly and you have a refund, then you can simply get that refunded, or you apply it to your estimated tax payments for the next year. So we like to kind of bake in that final amount due. All right, so if you were listening, you would catch that there might be other reasons to do the extension, which one of them was if you are funding a sole proprietor kind of retirement account, a 401k or a solo 401k or a SEP. I want to caution people, though, because some people think if you file an extension, you can have extra time to fund an IRA or a Roth IRA. And that is not true. You do not get an extension of time to fund IRAs or Roth IRAs. That has to be funded by the due date of the tax return. So anyone who still hasn't filed a return, if you would benefit from funding an IRA, you still will have time because we have this later due date of our returns this year. It's April 18th. So you actually have until April 18th to fund an IRA or to fund a Roth IRA for 2016. Now, if you fund a traditional IRA, that will reduce your income, which then usually decreases your tax due. So that's a traditional IRA where you get a deduction on page one of the return. And you can do that up till April 18th and have it count for the prior year. You just have to make sure that when you make that contribution to your IRA account, that you put that in the memo so that the custodian knows which tax year it was for. Because sometimes I'll have clients who will fund their prior year and their current year, and that would be two different checks. So you'd do a check for 2016 and then a check for 2017. I'd like to have people who maybe are on the cusp of being able to make those kinds of contributions not do them until tax time. It's easier to wait to make sure you qualify to do those kinds of contributions than being ahead of the game and then finding out your income was too high to make them. Because some people who work, who are already participants in employer retirement plans, you have other income limitations. And there have been a number of people that I have had to tell them at tax time, whoops, you are not eligible to make those contributions to that traditional IRA. You need to reverse that, or Roth IRA. So sometimes if you're one of those people usually who might fall within those income limitations, I generally suggest that you wait until tax time to make a decision about those. But again, you have until April 18th to fund those. And for some people, a Roth could still give you some tax benefits. I'll talk about that when we come back from our next break. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show, and this is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're just kind of tying up some loose ends with tax season. It's almost done. We have till April 18th, and we're talking about what happens if you don't think you're going to get your tax return done, or what if you don't have enough to pay. And I was just mentioning that you also still have some time to fund IRAs or Roth IRAs. And typically when we think about funding an IRA, we're talking about a traditional IRA. You want to make sure you qualify to be able to do that if you're going to do it. And you also want to make sure if you are funding either or, that if you're doing it at a bank or a brokerage account and you have both accounts, you want to make sure you're putting it in the right account. And you also want to make sure that you're identifying what tax year that your contribution is for. So one of the things I had said is people typically are used to getting a tax benefit from the traditional IRA. Many people may not realize that there could actually be a current tax benefit from the Roth IRA, and that is in particular for people who have lower income, who might be have something called the Retirement Savers Credit available to them. So the Retirement Savers Credit is based on contributions to retirement accounts, and I think a lot of people might not be aware of that or of the kind of like the circular calculations that go into that. So that's a retirement savers credit. I don't have kind of all of that information in front of me right now. Well, I can look this up real quick. The credit can be, it's limited to $2,000 per year for each individual. And the eligible contributions include the sum of contributions to traditional IRAs or Roth IRAs. And if you're single, the credit could be up to 50%, but it caps out at $2,000, and it caps out at your tax level, too. So typically, people in the lower income brackets have not a lot of tax, but at the same time, this Retirement Savers Tax Credit is like free money. So if you are eligible, it depends. You can't be a student to get it, but if you have to be at least 18 by the end of the year, not be a dependent claimed on another person's return, and not be a full-time student. So if you are independent and you're over 18 and you're not on your parents' return and you're not a full-time student, you may be eligible for it if you're working and you put money into a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA or a plan at work. But that's an extra benefit on the Roth, because the Roth ends up being a tax-free investment saving vehicle for retirement. And here to think that you actually might even get a little tax credit for it, again, free money, is something to not ignore. And you have until April 18th to figure that out. And let's pretend you're hearing this for the first time. You didn't realize it. You quick run on the computer. You Google it. You find out, oh my gosh, you pull out your tax return. I might qualify for this. And you already filed your return. Well, this goes back to when there might be a time where you would want to amend a return. Let's pretend you have the money to put into the Roth IRA. And it doesn't have to be the full amount. So if a normal IRA contribution or Roth IRA contribution is $5,500, maybe you have $2,000 in the bank and you would qualify for this credit. Well, you could fund the IRA or the Roth IRA with $2,000 and possibly have this Retirement Savers Credit available to you, again, depending on what your income is and how much you contribute and your merit, your filing status, all right? So let's say, great, you think you're going to qualify. You could go fund it. And then you could amend your return later and say, hey, IRS, sorry, I'm filing an amended return because I funded an IRA or I funded my Roth. You tell them what the changes are. produce the schedule where you calculate the retirement savers credit, and boom, file your amended return and get your refund from that change. All right. Hope I'm not going too fast for people. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. The beautiful thing about the extension due date of October 15th, when we're talking about retirement plans, is for those people with the solo 401ks. Sometimes you have folks, or the SEP IRAs. So some folks will have started maybe a new business, let's say in the fall of 2016, and they might not have realized they were going to have such a great year, but they set up a retirement account just in case. And then here comes tax time, and they're doing their tax return, and all of a sudden they realize, oh, man, I owe all this money. Well, I have that retirement account I set up. I could fund it, and I could get a deduction for that. But shoot, I don't have the money right now because my business was doing so well. I decided to invest in a computer or, you know, some equipment or something. Well, if you file for an extension, you'd have till October 15th to kind of generate some extra cash to fund that retirement account. So I think that's a great opportunity. And again, it's only on those folks with the solo 401ks or SEP IRAs for sole proprietor type of retirement plans. All right. So that's another great reason to do the extension. I have some people who think that if you file an extension, you're opening yourself up for audit. And I also have people who tell me that if you file on time, you open yourself up for audit, and that if you extend, you decrease your chances for audit. You know, first of all, that's just too much, you know, game playing and trying to figure that out, and I don't think any of it applies anyway. The IRS uses, you know, certain, I think, testing within their own software to kind of measure whether something seems out of kilter for particular returns, and then they might find out if something's sticking out, then they might audit you. But otherwise, you know, I think some of it's random. John, we have a caller on line one. Hello, Cindy, can you hear me?
I am here. Hi. Yes, hello.
Great. How can I help you?
Well, this is a little convoluted, but and maybe my thinking is off, but I am 60 years old and retired. My husband is 58, and I'm planning on taking Social Security at 62, and so is he. So in my mind, and I also believe that we can only put into Roth IRAs while someone's working, and I don't know if that's correct or not, but my thought is, should we be taking money out of our tax deferred accounts now, just enough to keep us while we're at the 15% tax bracket? Like, let's say maybe we could take out another $20,000 or something like that, mm-hmm. and pay the tax now, as opposed to and putting in a Roth IRA, as opposed to waiting till we both retired on Social Security, and then we want to take out $50,000 to take a trip, where if we had taken little, and that puts us into maybe a 25% tax bracket. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely, Cindy, and you're on the right track, and that's why, again, I say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive, because it's much easier to plan when you're thinking ahead. So just a few quick comments. One, you kind of want to do a projection on this. If you have longevity in your family, I think you need to do some analysis as to whether it makes sense or not for you and your husband both to collect at 62, because you are taking a hit on Social Security. You're taking a permanent reduction in your Social Security benefit if you collect at 62.
Which we are, but I have a pension, and therefore I don't need to wait for my maximum Social Security, and I've paid health benefits. Okay. So I am pretty much decided, I'm pretty sure that we're both going to, I am for sure at 62, and unless the market crashes, I'm hoping that he can as well. So.
Okay. Well, you'll have to do your own projections on that, but one of the concepts I try to look at when people are thinking about retiring, if they don't need the cash flow from their Social Security, is to actually defer that. And then during that period of time between Social Security and full required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half, if there's an opportunity to convert IRA money or that 401k money to Roth IRAs. That's what I would, kind of consider and play tax brackets on, is converting, where you're taking some of that taxable money and switching it into tax-free money while you're in a 15% tax bracket. But Cindy, you're on the right track. Do some planning. I would be a little concerned about the early Social Security, so pay attention to that. But I have to go to my next break.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling
in.
I appreciate it. Have a good night. Okay, we're going to break. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And Lehigh Valley weather looks like this, 73 degrees right now. What a gorgeous day today, as Lori mentioned before. Tonight, a low around 42 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 63. Thursday night, a low around 40. On Friday, let's call it a carbon copy of Thursday, mostly sunny, high near 63. Friday night, a low around 42. For Saturday, a slight chance of showers, partly sunny, with a high near 65 degrees. So we're into the mid-60s for the next few days. Saturday night's low, 53 degrees. Lori, you probably are not old enough to remember carbon copies, are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
My mistake. So to say that Friday's weather is a carbon copy of Thursday, you understand completely.
Yes, all right. Yes.
Even with the purple fingers.
Yes,
and all.
Yes. Loved carbon paper. Used to love the carbon paper. Okay, we're back. Your financial choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We're kind of buttoning up tax season, folks, and it's been a great tax season. We started off better than we had in prior years. There were no big software changes. There were no big legislative changes. So it's gone fairly smooth. I do want to just take a minute to thank our listeners and to thank the Your Financial Choices listeners in particular for reaching out and pledging last week. I really, really appreciate it. I take great pride in this show and this station and my listeners. So I really want to thank you so much for calling in and pledging. It was great. And we closed out the drive.
Let me just say, Lori, that I heard the last 10 minutes of your show last Wednesday, and it was very obvious that your enthusiasm for WDIY was genuine. You really do believe in this station, and including the challenge grant that you had before folks last week. So good for you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. And we appreciate our listeners. So folks, if you have any questions about taxes, you're welcome to give a call, 610-758-8810. We were talking with Cindy before I head to break for the break, our half-hour break, which is a little harder break than my mid-show breaks. So, Cindy, I hope we were able to help you there. I just think, you want to look at a little planning, do some projections. It's not always just what happens today. One thing that sometimes people forget about when they're talking about projections is interest rates, inflation risk, and you need to kind of bake that in sometimes to your planning, because things like pensions quite often don't have a cost of living adjustment. They're going to be fixed. Social Security, once you start collecting and you have taken a permanent reduction, that doesn't go up at a very fast rate either. Sometimes what you might want to look at is if one collects early and the other delays a little bit. So you might want to just run some numbers on that. But good luck, and I think you're on the right track of thinking that through. It's good to play tax brackets. Sometimes what happens is people might end up being in the same tax bracket, forever. So kind of playing with whether you do Roth conversions or IRAs. It kind of depends on where that's going to go. All right, so good luck with that. One thing I wanted to mention, which was kind of funny getting ready for the show tonight when we were talking about extensions, I'm from my perspective, you know, I'm a CPA, I work at a CPA firm, we have software, we push buttons, and things like extensions are taken care of, and we'll tell clients, you know, here, make your payment if you're paying with your extension, or maybe you don't owe, and then we can just file the extension without any payment. It works out really well. But when I thought, oh, I'll pull up an application for an extension, because back in the old days, we actually looked at paper, and now everything's electronic. But what I found, which I had not realized, was that you can make a payment electronically with your extension. I am just used to people, you know, writing checks. When we file your tax return, we can do direct deposits into your accounts. We can do direct debits out of your accounts for payments due to the government authorities. But I had not thought about this for the extensions. And I don't know if our traditional software does it, but the IRS lets you go online and do it. You can go to irs.gov/payments. So you can pay online with a direct transfer from your bank account using Direct Pay, the electronic federal tax payment system, or by debit or credit card. You can also pay by phone using the electronic federal tax payment system, or by debit or credit card on the phone. So very interesting. So again, it says more information is available at irs.gov/payments, and then you'll receive a confirmation number when you pay online or by phone. You enter the confirmation number on your little voucher here somewhere. Make a note of your confirmation number. And it says if you use an electronic payment method and indicate the payment is for an extension, you don't have to file Form 4868 for the extension. And it says you should pay the entire estimated tax owed, or you could have a penalty. Now, let me go back to penalties then. So that was interesting, and that was new to me, that you could actually make an electronic payment with your extension, either via the telephone or their federal tax payment system, which I assume is online. And you can still do it with a check as well. So that is something. But I want to go back to my point about filing for an extension is not an extension of time to pay. So you want to make sure that you've baked in that payment of what you think you're going is going to be due. So they have penalties for late filing and late payment. Now, I think I highlighted those somewhere. So a late payment penalty is usually half of 1% of any tax not paid by April 18th. It's charged for each month or part of a month the tax is unpaid, and the maximum penalty is 25%. So if you owe $1,000 and you haven't paid it for however many months, the maximum penalty is 25%. So what did I say? $1,000, 25%. I mean, it's like credit card rates, folks, if you don't pay. So you want to make sure you're paying. If it's a half percent times 1%, let's say you file for the extension, that gives you a 6-month extension of time to file. If you have not paid with your extension, then in essence, you're going to be paying about 3% late payment penalty on your balance due. And again, it's the balance due. Now, the late filing penalty, so this is why you want to file an extension at least, or at least file your return even if you don't have the money to pay. File the return or file for an extension. A late filing penalty is usually charged if your return is filed after the due date, including extensions. The penalty is usually 5% of the amount due for each month or part of a month your return is late. So the late filing penalties are really high, and that is why you want to file the extension or at least file your return, because you do not want the late filing penalty. And if you think about it, I the IRS is probably saying, hey, we make it so easy for you to file for an extension. There's no reason not to. Maybe it's just laziness. Or, as I said, some people get so stressed out about this. But if you face it, it's not as bad as you think. Just file for the extension. It looks easy enough. Now, it is rare that the IRS won't accept your extension. Generally, as I said, they kind of automatically will allow it. I think if you kind of do it over and over and never file your return, then they might not honor it. I don't know. I have never had that happen, but that might be, you know, a caution. You can't keep doing this year after year. Now, folks, if you don't have the money to pay for pay your tax, there is something called the installment agreement request, and that is a form 9465. And what I've read with this, and I've only had probably a couple people do it, what I've read with this is they're still going to apply the late payment penalties. So what's interesting to me is why you can see certain advertisements and commercials about businesses trying to help people get out of the penalties that they owe the IRS when the IRS says on this installment agreement that there will be penalties for late payment. There are times when you or a preparer can write a letter to the IRS and say, hey, IRS, you know, I'm under these circumstances. I'm in a real pickle. Maybe someone was diagnosed with a terminal illness. Maybe you're caring for someone with a terminal illness. Maybe you're going through a divorce or separation or some unforeseen circumstance that made it really hard for you either to file the return or made it really hard for you to pay the tax timely or is making it difficult for you to pay the tax yet due. I have found that the IRS can be reasonable if you're reasonable. They're not going to let people get away with, you know, just probably self-inflicted disorganization. But if you have valid reasons, generally they will work with you. And I caution people when they get notices from the IRS saying, you know, that they don't agree with your records or you owe all these penalties or you owe all this tax, you want to make sure that you review the notice or letter that they've sent you. Make sure it's valid. Does it make sense? If it doesn't make sense, you don't have to necessarily accept all the changes that the IRS might propose because they're going to give you boxes that say you agree or don't agree. Now, that's if they have differences in what you've reported. So they might send you a letter and then there might be late payment penalties if they say you owed a bunch of tax and you didn't think you did, and they might charge you late payment penalties or under-reporting penalties. You want to be careful to really read those notices and address them and respond to the IRS accordingly and let them know if you don't agree or why you don't agree or that you really inadvertently missed reporting something for reason A, B, C, or X, Y, Z. All right, so be careful on those. So that's that situation. But for an installment agreement, maybe something happened. You know, I had someone recently who received, unbeknownst to them, they ended up being an heir to an estate that they, you know, there was no will, and they're a distant relative, and all of a sudden they got some big inheritance with a huge tax consequence. Well, they didn't know that was going to happen. They didn't know the consequence on their own tax return that this was going to happen. It just kind of did, and it was huge. Now, in that case, this person actually happened to have the money to pay the tax, but there might have been a circumstance where you didn't know, you hadn't realized, and there wasn't maybe enough withholding on this particular inheritance, or you hadn't known that there was going to be an income tax consequence to it, because quite often when you inherit assets, you don't always understand the consequences of the income consequences of an inheritance. Sometimes people think an inheritance is all taxable and it might not be at all. And other people think an inheritance is not taxable and the whole thing might be. It all depends on what you inherit. So that could be a reason why you might not have known that you were going to have this big tax due. And that could be maybe one of the reasons you might want to give the IRS if you're not able to pay. Now, sometimes they don't care why you can't pay. They just want to know how much you can pay and what kind of installment agreement you want. So we'll talk a little bit about that as we finish up the show here. There's 15 minutes left. If you have any questions on this beautiful, gorgeous evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hello, this is Wagner Previato, Executive Director at WDIY. On behalf of our staff, volunteers, and board of directors, I want to thank all of you who made a donation during our spring pledge drive. Thanks to your gift, we made our goal. Your financial investment is what keeps this station on the air year after year. Your commitment to WDIY is an inspiration to us all. Thank you for all your support.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We hope you're getting your tax returns done. If you have questions, we still have plenty of time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. There's not a whole lot more you can do at this point of the tax season, but you still may be able to impact your tax return if you haven't already filed, if you're eligible for making contributions to something like a traditional IRA or a solo 401k for those people who are self-employed. If you are self-employed and you never even thought about that and you didn't realize that you could open up your own retirement account, and maybe your 2016 income was so high that, gosh, had you known, you could have put money in to an account, but you didn't know. Well, it might be too late to set up a solo 401k, but you could still set up a SEP IRA. So for people who are self-employed and for 2016 maybe had tons of income they hadn't anticipated, there might still be some planning opportunities for you. So think about that, consider that. Then you'd want to get your tax return extended, because that is one thing that you can also do is for the self-employed, the SEP IRA, you have till the extension due date to set that up. Again, too late to set up the solo 401k, but you can still set up a SEP IRA. That's the only retirement account I think that you can set up after the close of your tax year and still then fund it as if it was made in the prior year. So could be a reason why you want to extend. Back to if you think you owe and you can't make the payment, there is a form called the Form 9465 for the installment agreement request. And I'm just going to read a few things I highlighted on this, which is if you owe $50,000 or less, you may be able to establish an installment agreement online, even if you've not yet received a bill for your taxes. And you just go to the IRS website, irs.gov, to apply to pay online. And they caution, don't file this form if you can pay your balance in full within 120 days. So there might be the case where you think, golly, I owe, but I might have the money in the next 4 months. 120 divided by 30 is 4 months, I believe. So then remember my story about at least file your return, pay what you can with the return. And if you still have a balance due, the IRS is going to send you a note saying, hey, you didn't pay your full amount. But let's pretend you're someone who thinks you still can pay within the next 4 months. Well, then you don't need to enter into an installment agreement with them. just make sure you get your payment made within that four-month period. Recall that, as I said also, you still will have late payment penalties, but you won't have a late filing penalty. Now, what the form further goes through, so let's say you're someone who realizes you're not going to be able to pay it off in 4 months. Maybe it's like, you know, $10,000 and you have $1,000 in the bank. Then the form continues where you put in the amount that you owe, and then they want you to enter the amount of any payment you're making with your tax return, and then how much you think you can pay each month. And they'll review that. You don't have to pay that yet then. You pay as much as you can with the tax return, then say how much you think you can pay. So let's pretend you can pay $100 a month. They want you to put down how much you think you can pay, and then they will approve that installment or not. They also charge fees for these installment agreements, and depending on what kind of installment you set up, the fees might be lower. So you might want to look at whether or not you can do a direct debit from your checking account or apply for this installment online. If you apply for the installment online, I believe it's a little bit less. So there are installment agreement user fees. And if you set up an online payment agreement and make your payments by direct debit, they charge you only $31. If you don't set up an online payment agreement but do make your payments by direct debit, it's $107. So if you already are agreeing to do it direct debit, then I suggest you go fill out this installment agreement online, because you're going to save, what, 70 some bucks just by doing that online. So again, if you set up an installment agreement, online payment agreement, it's $31 if you do it online. If you don't set it up online, it's $107. If you set up an online payment agreement but don't make your payments by direct debit, it's $149. And if you don't set up an online payment and don't make your payments by direct debit, it's $225. All right. So some folks might say, well, I don't have a computer, I can't do it online. Well, that's another reason why we have libraries. You go to the library maybe and set something up through that. They also make sure they mention that they are also going to still charge interest, and you may be charged a late payment penalty on any tax not paid by its due date. So it looks to me like maybe you could avoid some of the late payment penalties if you enter into the installment agreement and just make sure that you're making your payments on time. So that would be really important. Some people need to modify or terminate their agreements with the IRS. And after an installment agreement is approved, you may submit a request to modify or terminate an installment agreement. And you can do that online as well. So you just want to modify your payment amount or due date by going to irs.gov and entering online payment agreement in the search box. You can also call the IRS to modify or terminate the agreement. All right. So I hope that helps people kind of know what some of their options are as we move towards April 18th. So the big alert is the tax due date is not April 15th this year. It's April 18th. The extension due date I said was October 15th. It's actually October 16th. We get an extra day there as well. But in order to have the extension due date apply to you, you do need to file an extension, which is Form 4868. You can do that online, and you can make a payment for any balance that is expected to be due online as well through direct debit, or you could also send in a check. But if you do it online with direct debit, it's deemed to have been extended, and they will give you a confirmation number. You could also do it via telephone with a debit card or a credit card, and that too will give you a confirmation number. I would be really curious to know how busy those phones are, because anyone who's ever tried to call the IRS knows that you could maybe never have the call answered. It could take hours on the phone to get an answer, and after tax season, sometimes They just don't man the phones at all. But I wonder if you're calling in to make a payment if they answer the phone or if it's automated. Maybe there is no one and it's all automated. In fact, now that I'm saying that, I bet that is what they do. All right. I had mentioned if you are going to do an extension about baking in not only the amount due, but maybe a little extra that could go toward either your first quarter estimated tax payment, which would then give you a little bit of wiggle room in your final numbers. We do that quite often, especially for people who might be business owners or folks who have investment income, whereby they don't have withholdings that are covering their tax due, that they cover their tax due by making estimated tax payments quarterly. Recall that the IRS is a pay-as-you-go system, and we have to pay our taxes as we go. Withholdings are deemed to be made evenly throughout the year, but if you don't have an opportunity to have withholdings, either through a job or a pension or Social Security, maybe you just have all investment income, then you would have to make those payments via quarterly payments. And if then you are filing for an extension and you also would normally pay on April 15th and also make a first quarter estimate, what we suggest is that you bake that first quarter estimate into your payment with your extension. That way, if you have overpaid, then any refund could just automatically apply to your 2017 tax due. I hope that makes sense. Imagine this. If you owe $1,000 and you normally would make a first quarter estimate of $1,000. So you pay $1,000 with your extension and then you pay your $1,000 towards your first quarter estimate. And then you end up owing $2,000 when you get the final numbers on your tax return. Well, now you put the $1,000 into your first quarter estimate, and now you're going to owe another $1,000 with your tax return, but now you've underpaid. So now you're going to have underpayment penalties. This way you just bake that first quarter estimate right into your balance due, and then you at least have that covered. All right, so I hope that makes sense for anybody who's doing that. Folks, I am winding down. We just have a few minutes left of the show. I feel like my brain is winding down from tax season, but unfortunately for me, I can't let go of it yet. I still have to keep that adrenaline going. Someone had actually emailed me. I thought it was just so funny. They said, "May your adrenaline sustain you." I felt like it was a blessing. May your adrenaline sustain you. And I laughed because it's so true. That's how we end up getting through tax season. It's like a constant adrenaline rush. And as we get closer to the end, you start to see the finish line. And any good runner, I suppose, knows you have to keep pushing all the way through till you're through the tape. But sometimes I'm someone who thinks, oh gosh, we're almost there. And I don't know if it's some peculiar thing I have. Like, I don't want it to end, so I start slowing down. But I need to rush. I need to keep going. I still have a lot of tax returns to get through, and I can't slow down. But I am slowing down at the end of the show here. I want to thank everyone throughout tax season for calling in. The listeners have had great questions. I think we learn the most from each other. I think we learn the most from asking questions, and no question, you know, is not worth asking. I think if one person has a question, it means there are multiple people who probably have the same question and, you know, need to learn something from it. So I thank all the listeners and callers who've called in during tax season. Not that we had shows on taxes every week. We didn't. We do talk about other things here. And we certainly hope over, you know, the upcoming months, people stay tuned and listen to all the other topics we're going to be talking about. In May, I have, in fact, two attorneys coming 2 weeks in a row where we're going to talk about powers of attorney. And I think we're going to talk about some estate planning. So I have that coming up in May. And we'll probably talk about retirement planning and lots of different options as we come in the next few months. But for the next couple weeks, we're going to run some pre-recorded shows for your listening pleasure. I will take a break for a couple weeks, but we hope you still continue to stay tuned and listen and maybe take some time to listen to some of those podcasts that are available on WDIY, where you go in to WDIY.org, look for local programming, search for your financial choices, and you can see some of the old podcasts there. And those are also available on your financial choices as well. So thanks again, listeners. It was a great tax season and a great pledge drive last week. I want to thank you so much. John, thank you for being here. Jeff, my buddy, who is off on his way to another place. I thank Jeff for being here for all those months with me as well. Thanks, Lori. Thanks, Justin, for hanging out with us as well. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition, folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.